So this just happened also a couple minutes ago. Sorry to cut you.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's from the Vegas Golden Knights. It's their press release. The general manager, Kelly McCrimmon, announced today that John Tortorella will not return to the team's coaching staff following this season with gone to the Stanley Cup Finals.
I really wish they would not release breaking news in the middle of the update.
Yeah, you know? There it is.
At least give me a couple seconds of buffer right before, you know?
We thank Torts for the guidance he provided our team since joining the organization back in March, said McCrimmon. When the decision was made to bring Torts to Vegas, we needed an immediate impact to help us at a pivotal point in the season. Torts' experience and leadership proved to be the boost that we were looking for, helping guide us to the Stanley Cup final. We're grateful for Torts' passion, sincerity, and commitment to our organization. We wish him and his family the best. Now, I don't know if John Tortorella took the job and said, I'm only doing this for the rest of the season, and then I'm gone. Or if typical with John Tortorella in his career, he wore out his welcome quickly enough, and then he's gone. I feel like he's coached a bunch of teams for not a long
tenure. Seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, well, there it is. I feel like there's more to this story, and we'll find out very soon.
Interesting.
Yep.
But what he did with Vegas was pretty incredible this year.
Okay, so was last night's Tiger game. Kind of wild and weird all at the same time. We'll start with the wild, weird stuff. The first thing is that the first 11 batters, the outs of the game were strikeouts. Not the first 11 batters, but the first 11 outs were strikeouts, which tied a Major League Baseball record. This is two teams, top of the first, three strikeouts, bottom of the first, three strikeouts, top of the second, three strikeouts, bottom of the second, two strikeouts, and then a ground out to first from Houston ended the streak. That was kind of weird. The Tigers scored 9 runs and struck out 18 times. That was kind of weird. The wild part, Colt Keith hit 3 bombs, hit a 2-run homer in the third to put the Tigers up 4-0. Then yanked one down the left field, or the right field line, rather, a 2-run shot to make it 8-3. And then in the ninth, popped one up out into the Crawford box there. That short porch and left, an opposite field shot to make it 9-3. What we can hope here is that Colt Keith is going through a wild correction factor. Let's start, Gator, though, with the 9 runs scored but 18 strikeouts. That you don't see every day.
No, you don't see that every day. It was quite remarkable to see that. But yet, when you're hitting the ball out of the ballpark with some regularity, albeit you don't expect Colt Keith to come up with a 3 home run night, but he did, you can live with that. 18 strikeouts is way too much swing and miss.
Yep.
9 runs to score, though, is way more than expected. You're scoring twice as much as you expect to, and you're probably striking out twice as much as you expected to. I don't think that's a recipe for what's going to happen the rest of the season. I think that was obviously a statistical anomalation. They had a pitcher they were facing last night that threw a wicked breaking ball. Also threw it all over the place. So it was either you stand up there, don't swing the bat, and you probably had a good chance to walk or get hit, or you're going to swing and miss.
And he did a lot of both. Yeah. Hit a lot of batters.
Hit 2 batters.
Yep. But the Tigers' offense was pretty good. And, you know, the worst part about last night was more injuries. Troy Melton, a back, made him miss the start. Drew Anderson came in and did a good job, and I want to get to Drew here in a minute. But and then Gleyber Torres, and this sucks because he's a key contributor. You did the stat line comparison. Offensive stats between Gleyber Torres and Kevin McGonigal are really similar. If you love McGonigal, you're getting like another McGonigal at second base in terms of offensive production. Gleyber Torres has been really, really good for this team. And I don't know. It just looks like it's a re-aggravation of the oblique that kept him out a few weeks. And, you know, it's probable that it feels like he's probably looking at another stint on the injured list. I'm speculating, and I've been told years ago not to speculate on injuries, and I'm doing it anyway. But
if he's
it doesn't
out,
look good.
No, if he's out, and you're right, it didn't look good. It wasn't one of these things, say, hey, you want to take a couple swings, practice swings, make sure. No, he just immediately went to the dugout.
And it doesn't look good because it looks like it's the same injury.
Yeah, exactly. And re-aggravating that is problematic. He's been a very good player for this team. Was part of the resurgence we saw when the clock struck June. What? Calendar turned to June.
Yeah. Oh, the clock struck. That's great.
Clock struck June. When that happened, obviously he's part of the reason the Tigers were able to win some games because he is a quality hitter. He is literally an all-star. They need to have him on this team. But he left the game. Howie Lee came in, played second base, had a couple of hits. I don't know what Howie Lee is going to be the rest of the season with this team, but I like Howie Lee. I know you like Howie Lee. It's a rookie season. It's going to be lots of ups and downs, and got to be patient with that. But he'll get an opportunity if Glaber's going to be out. And yet, he's already on this roster. Now, if Glaber's going to miss time, then it opens up a roster spot. How will the Tigers fill that? And then you've got the whole separate issue of Jamai Jones and his failures. And does that open up another roster spot? Do the Tigers have two roster spots they got to fill?
Most likely, yeah. And
we're not even talking about Troy Melton, which might be a third.
Sure. And we don't know how serious that back injury is. We'll await updates today. As far as Torres is concerned, it could be Jace Young gets called back up. It could be Max Anderson, who is, you know, been a promising prospect down at Toledo, a second baseman, who at the beginning of the year when he was really hitting the ball, people were calling us and asking us, why isn't he getting called up? And there's two big reasons. One is he's not going to get called up to sit on the bench and play a part-time role. This is a guy that you have like full-time expectations for eventually being an everyday player. And so you want him to get as many at-bats and as much seasoning as you can at the, and that gets stunted if he calls up and plays once every 3 days, once every 4 days in Detroit or pinch hits here and there. So now, if you're playing must-win baseball down the stretch, you can stunt the growth for a month and a half and just bring him up because you're trying to, you got to win. But as in the here and the now, there's that, and there's the fact that he wasn't walking. Well, he started to walk. In fact, the time we looked it up, he had one walk the entire season. So he was doing one of the things that Scott Harris emphasized is the strike zone and being able to. But now he's walking more, right? So he could get called up. As far as Jamai Jones is concerned, look, he said it in code, but AJ, I thought, spelled it out on his morning show appearance last week. Jamai's got the Cleveland and the Houston series to start to produce. Every time he talks about him, he does what managers and coaches do. If a guy is on your roster, you support them, you back them. Even if you know the clock is ticking on that guy's roster spot, you support him and back him. Otherwise, you start to undermine their chance of success. He made it pretty clear why he was up for the Cleveland and Houston series. And every time he talks about Jamai, he says, but he's got to produce to make this plan. For the strategy to be productive, he's got to produce, and he's not. And he didn't again last night. And, you know, the bottom line here is, I don't be surprised if he gets DFA'd at the end of this week.
I won't be. I won't be surprised if he's DFA'd today. I just won't be because he was 0 for 3 last night, two more strikeouts. Situations are to his advantage. He's facing left-handed pitching, which is the only reason he's on the roster, is to hit lefties. And he did an excellent job of it last year. But every game this year that gets played is another game where we're further removed from what happened last year. And this year he's not hit at all. He's hitting 144 on the season. He's not hitting lefties at all either. I don't think he's got a hit against righties. He only got like a dozen at-bats against right-handed pitching. It's time to move on. And you know, you got a guy like Corey Jolks in the minors who is not a stranger to getting a cup of coffee in the major leagues. He's 30 years old. His OPS on the season is 919, but against lefties, it's close to 1,000. He draws a bunch of walks, a 393 on base percentage. If you don't like that route, you can go bring Ben Malgary in there, and he's got an OPS of 944 right now, a 416 on base percentage. He's killing left-handed pitching as well. I'm only looking for a guy that's going to hit. I don't care about position flexibility because Jamai Jones wasn't position flexibility. You just need the right-handed bat. If Torres is going to go out and you're going to get a chance to bring up another bat, why not bring up Jace Young, whose on-base percentage is 115 points better than his batting average. He's got a 766 OPS and is hit for some power. He's got 10 home runs right now for Toledo. So they've got options at Toledo that they can bring up, even if they're not ready to bring up Max Anderson. If they want to see him season a little bit more before he gets his chance, I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem if Jamai Jones is going to stay on this roster past this series.
Don't expect it. With that said, Scott, a couple of looky here performances last night I want to get into and get your thoughts on. Then the latest on Dylan Larkin. Are things afoot? That at 12:30. It's Carson Anderson on 97.1.